Good morning. We're the Cowsert family. Hear the word from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife.
We have lighted the candles of awakening in anticipation so far in this Advent season. As we turn the page on our calendar closer to Christmas, so too we turn our hearts to you, O Lord. In turning our hearts, we realign ourselves with the truth that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Today we light this candle to represent repentance. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you that our lives are not our own, but yours. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us how being transformed works differently than endlessly striving to transform ourselves. In the name of Jesus Messiah, the one who came, is here, and is coming again for his glory and our good. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue in an attitude of prayer. As the Cowsets have led us with the lit candle, let us go to the God we celebrate, to Jesus whom we anticipate, and let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the joy it brings for us to celebrate, to anticipate, and to perpetuate your coming here today. We celebrate this, Lord, through song. We celebrate this through ringing instruments. We celebrate through lighting candles. And Lord, we celebrate your presence in our lives. We thank you, Lord, so much. We thank you, Lord, that you care about each and every person in this place today. But we pray, Lord, for the needs of the world. And we pray, Lord, for the needs of our country. We pray specifically today, Lord, for those who are in the path of tornadoes in Kentucky today. We pray, Lord God, that you would minister to those who have lost loved ones. We pray, Lord, not only with our prayers, but we pray with our actions. We ask, Lord, you would show us what to do and how to assist there in Kentucky. Lord, be with them at this time in their grief. Lord, there's lots of other things on our minds, lots of other prayers we want to say. But often, Lord, we can't find the words to pray. And today, Lord, we know we want to say the words that you taught us to pray when the disciples asked you, "Lord, what should we pray? How should we pray?" And you responded with these words that we are accustomed to. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, our will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive the trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Hello and welcome to Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, where we are leading people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. We are so glad that you are here with us on this beautiful Advent Sunday. I want to make sure that you have all grabbed your bulletin on your way in from the ushers. If not, please get one from the lobby on the way out. If you need one online, please go to phumc.net and download your bulletin. All the other information can be found right online for you as well. There's a couple of things that I do want to highlight for you today, and that is that our mission of the month is going to help funds for people in need this month. There's a lot going on today besides just the choir singing for our wonderful Christmas musical. We also have the Big Red Bus is out in the Belcher parking lot. You can donate blood today. From 9:30 to 11:30 upstairs, we have our Santa shop is open as well. So if you or your little one is in need of stocking stuffers or little gifts, please go upstairs and visit them. This Saturday night, hosted by your Palm Harbor kids, is going to be Jingle Jam, a light show. It's going to be a fantastic service just for kids about the Christmas service. I want to make sure that you all know about that. And then one other thing, these Christmas cards, please make sure to grab them from the lobby and pass one out. Invite at least one person to our Christmas Eve services that are listed on the back. We hope that you have a great day. At this time, ushers, please come up. There are so many ways to show your open-hearted generosity here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. You can text your giving. You can put them in the plate as they're passed by. You can also drop them in the wooden boxes that are in the lobby on your left as you walk out. Or you can, again, go to PHUMC of the online giving and put them in there. At this time, let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to worship on this wonderful Sunday of Advent, for all of the wonderful voices that we are about to hear, and for you and these gifts that allow us to go further into the community to share your love in the story of the baby Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. What a joy. I forgot to mention that actually this is the combined choir. We didn't just double up overnight. This is the combined choir of Heritage and Palm Harbor. And after this, they're on the way, jump in the van and go back down to Heritage United Methodist Church and do the same thing again. So jump in your car and follow them on down there, down to Clearwater. I almost don't need to preach, but I will anyway. What is it that you have awakened to in this season? What is it that you have realized that you probably should be doing this? What is it that you have thought to yourself, oh, I know, I'll awake to doing that? What is it that you anticipate? What is it that you think, oh, this is going to happen in my life next year? What is it, or where is it, that you need to realign your life? When is it where you need to think, oh, I need to do this differently? If you just joined us in our series, we're in our third week of our Advent series, the Christian New Year, and we've been following along with these devotions that J.D. Walt has written for Seedbed. And the first week, we have been talking about awaken and what we should awake to. Last week, we talked about anticipate. What is it that we anticipate in our lives coming in this season? As we await the Christ child coming that we've just sang about, as we await the second coming when heaven will come to earth. Today, we are talking about realignment or repent. The name of the candle today is repent. Now, repent gets a bad rap, doesn't it, that word? It gets a bad rap. Every time you think of the word repent, you see people with signs hanging up in the air with somebody, normally an old man, standing underneath with a sign that says, repent. There's something that you're not doing right. There's something that you must not do anymore. It's a moral code. You're not following the law. It's like you see the sign, you're like, oh, no, there's something I must do. I think for 2021, a new way for us to understand the word repent is realign. Realign with what God is doing in and around in our lives. Where is it that you need to do that? Where is it that you need to awake to? Where is it that you need to anticipate? How do you need to realign yourself with God? Joseph realigned himself with God. One of the scriptures that Dana read to you today was about Joseph. Now, who is Joseph? Who is he in the grand scheme of the message of the Bible and specifically the New Testament? He's just like a stock person in the whole history of the narrative. He's not the protagonist. He's not the antagonist. He's just like, your average Jew. And he just turns up in the story all of a sudden as he's being betrothed to Mary to be married. Joseph, we are led to believe, is a good Jew. He's a good Jew. He follows the moral law. He follows the Mishnahs, which are the rabbinical orated tradition of the rabbis. And they written them down. They wrote them down. And there was Mishnahs to follow. He was a good Jew, and people knew him as a good Jew in the community. He was a stock character, a good Jew. And this guy turns up in our story. And we're going to read along in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 is where we are in our scripture. In verse 18, there's a story there that some of you might have read or sang before. And here's how it goes. Just going to read the first two verses. Matthew 1, you might see something different if you open your Bible, if you open it on your tablet or your phone. If you're watching online, just open another link there. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. By the way, I want you, he's never mentioned anywhere else in the text. I want you to count how many times his name comes up in this particular text. Let's go back. So this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. So this Joseph was following the Mishnahs. He knew what it meant to be betrothed. Now, betrothal in Jewish understanding was a lot more binding than our engagement ceremonies. I was like, yeah, honey, I'm going to marry you. No, it wasn't like this at all. This was a big deal. You were betrothed. It was a contract. And for that year, mostly about a year, you would spend time getting to know your family. You would spend time getting to know the family that you were going to marry into. And the marriage partner was also going to spend time getting to know their family. And there would be some sort of formal occasion when they get to know each other. And at some point, Joseph would have walked with his new father-in-law-to-be and walked to his house. And he would have said, this is my father's house, and in my father's house there are many rooms. And he would be making a room for his betrothed. He would literally be building the room, and he'd say, look, this is what I'm using. This is how it's going to look. I'm going to put the TV over there. I'm going to have a man cave over here. And over here is going to be a little coffee pot, you know, kind of thing. And he'd say, it's going to be great. This is what your daughter is marrying into. And Mary's mother and father would have been like, this is a catch. This is great. I'm really happy that we've got this law-abiding Jew who follows the Mishnahs, who is a good Jew. And while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were a follower in the Mishnah said, if your betrothed, the one that you were in contract to marry to, all of a sudden announces, hey, I'm having a baby, then guess what? It's up to you to divorce her publicly, and you can have it brought to trial and stoned. You can either do that, or there's another little rule in the Mishnah. You could just do it with two witnesses only, and just have it do it. Just let everybody know that you didn't want to marry her, and that this is what she's done wrong. Joseph, as a law-abiding Jew, would have followed the moral code. He would have followed the rules. He would have followed what the Mishnah was going to say. And this is where we are in his discussion. Verse 20, he says, as he considers this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was brought to her, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So imagine being Joseph, going back and forth each night, when during your dreams, the dreams that turn into nightmares, wondering how they were going to drag her out in the middle of the street and stone Mary for what she's just pronounced. Wondering whether which rabbis to go to bring him before her, before those guys, and say, hey, guess what? She's pregnant with somebody else's son. And as he went back and forth and rolled back and forth of these dreams, and as he contemplated the demons that were haunting his decisions, all of a sudden, mercifully, an angel showed up. And guess which one? Gabriel. Number two in the angel world, the one that went and said to Zechariah, hey, guess what? You're going to have a son. It's going to be called John. And he kept him quiet for 9 months. This is the same angel. Gabriel turned up to him in his dream and says, no. You're not supposed to do anything. You're not to follow tradition. You're not to follow the Mishnah. You're not to follow what everybody else thinks you should do. You're to have the child, and you are to name him Yeshua. Yeshua, God will save us from our sins, amen? And Joseph had the opportunity to do these things. He was a nobody, a bit player, just a stock character in the history of the world. And he shows up here, and God speaks to him through his number two angel and says to him, you will name the Messiah. This is the pivotal moment of our entire Bible. You, Joseph, nobody, law-abiding Jew, you are going to name the child that's going to set people free from their sins. And you'll call him Yeshua. The writer in Matthew jumps out of the story and kind of reminds us what it's about. He said, all of this is occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Matthew, the writer of this gospel, is saying, guess what? This was written in Isaiah 7:14. This is written in Isaiah, where we find it in chapter 7, verse 14, that says, this is how it was meant to be. This is the story that you are witnessing. How it is? This is what was prophesied about. You are meant to be seeing this. You are meant to be a part of this. You are meant to be a key player in this event. Joseph was a nobody. Joseph was a bit player. He could have just made a decision, like all of us have the decision every day. He could have just made a decision not to do what the angel said. He could have said, surely somebody richer, smarter, faster, younger will come along and take this whole thing on. Surely somebody smarter, some more observant Jew, surely this is for a rabbi to do. Surely the religious people do this kind of thing. And he had a couple of options. Should he see Mary stoned in the street publicly for everybody to see? Should he just bring her to one side in front of two witnesses, two members of the Sanhedrin, and say, I'm betrothed to her and she's done this thing? Or should he listen to the angel? Mercifully, he listened to the angel. He listened to the angel and did what the angel said. Verse 24. When Joseph woke up, He did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until his son was born, and Joseph named him Joseph. Woke up. Of course, Joseph woke up from his sleep, but he woke up from his obedience to tradition. He woke up from his obedience to Mishnahs. He woke up to obedience to what everybody else was thinking about him and everybody else was saying to him, oh, you can't do that. He woke up and he anticipated the Christ child coming into the world through his betrothed Mary. He anticipated and he realigned his life with what God would want for him. He repented. He's like, I'm not going to follow what everybody else thinks. I'm not going to follow what those guys think I should do. I'm going to listen to Almighty God. I'm going to listen to him and realign my life with him. Did you count? How many times did Joseph get mentioned in this text today? Six. Close, but thank you, Judy. Six times. Six times Joseph is mentioned. He is speaking specifically to Joseph, specifically to him. And the angel specifically addressed him. And of course, in the pronouns as well, he addresses them there too and addresses his behavior. He specifically says to him, and we never hear of him ever again. It's just the dad doing the dad stuff, schlepping them around, Bethlehem, Egypt, Egypt back to Nazareth, just doing all the dad things. But he's never mentioned again in the Bible. And he's mentioned six times here. And the purpose of his life transforms the entire world. He wakes up. He is anticipating something massive happening in his life. He realizes what God would want for his life. And the message today is, where are you waking up? Where are you awoke to? What are you anticipating today in this Advent series? Where should you align your life with Jesus? Where should you repent? Where should you realign? I can't answer that for you. I can't answer this question for you. Only you can answer that question. Only God can speak to your heart specifically, each and every one of you. And he knows your name. He knows whether your name is Joseph. He knows whether your name is Gary. He knows whether your name is Jack. He knows whether your name is Jordan. And he knows specifically what is going on in each of your lives. Amen? And he wants you to realign. He wants you to realign your life with him today. With the songs that we sing, with the scripture that we read, with the people that we bump into. He wants for you to have a life in abundance. Jesus, and we forget this, Jesus mentioned repentance a lot. And in Matthew 4, 17, in Matthew 4, chapter 17, Jesus said quite frankly, no matter what translation you put it in, he says, repent of your sins, or realign, repent of your sins and turn to God so that you feel bad about yourself. Repent and turn from your sins and turn to God so that everybody else can judge you. Repent, turn from your sins so that you can be ashamed. Jesus didn't say that, did he? Jesus didn't say that. He said, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of heaven is near. You tasted it this morning. You anticipated it. You want to realign your life with that. And we want a happy new year. We want a new year that brings us to a place that we can align our lives with. You see, when we realign our lives with Jesus, when we realign our lives with what He wants for us, heaven comes near and we have a happy new year. Amen? When heaven comes near, we have a happy new year. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you. You are nearer than we can ever imagine. We thank you. You are near us through the music. We are thankful that you're near us through the scripture being read. We thank you that you are near us here in the seats, here online. And Lord, we pray that you would show us a place where we can wake up collectively, where Palm Harbor can wake up collectively. You would show us a place where we can anticipate you at work in our lives and at work in our church. We pray, Lord God, that personally would realign our lives with you so that we can see heaven come near. And we ask this, Lord, in the depths of our hearts. We ask this as we move from here, as we celebrate your birth with our family in the next couple of weeks. We ask this all in the precious and powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen.